honored to know your name. You are truly a great God. Help us this morning, Lord, to receive what you have in store for us. Oh God, to not be a slave to the program, God, but to be led by your Spirit. You are good. You are worthy. Open us, God, for what you have in store. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
My soul, my Savior.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated.
You deserve the glory.
It is scripture, but it's a declaration. Our strength is made perfect. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Last night, I don't think I got more than an hour of sleep. I was literally just laying in bed, staring at the ceiling. I knew what time it was, about 5 o'clock. The rain came rolling in. But you know, God's here. He is with me. He's empowered me to bring this message, this hour, to the people of God here this morning. I'm going to do that. I'm going to rely upon him and depend upon him as I do every time I stand behind his pulpit. So I believe he's got something that is going to empower us if we allow and we are obedient to his word this morning and implement it in our lives. This morning's lesson is entitled, Letting God Work in You. And our focus thought this morning is we must choose to let the Lord do what he desires in our life. In our text this morning, we're going to read in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 13. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am wherewith to be content. I know about how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can be seated at this time. If anything, this morning's lesson goes so well. If anybody's been coming here on Wednesday night Bible study, this is just going to complement to what we've been hearing on Wednesday nights. There's an article that came out in the Mayo, from the Mayo Clinic in 2017. It's positive thinking. Stop negative self-talk to reduce stress. I don't need to read anything else besides that. Just stop getting stressed out over talking negatively. But the people in the Mayo Clinic staff provide this following advice. Some studies show that personality traits such as optimism and pessimism can affect many areas of our health and well-being. The positive thinking that usually comes with optimism is a key part of effective stress management. And effective stress management is associated with many health benefits. If you tend to be pessimistic, don't despair. You can learn positive thinking skills. It says the staff writers go on to mention these positive benefits of thinking. Increased lifespan, lower rates of depression, lower levels of distress, greater resistance to the common cold, better psychological and physical well-being, better cardiovascular health and reduced risk of death from cardiovascular disease, better coping skills during hardships and times of stress. It's positive thinking is not ignoring the stresses and challenges that we face in our life, but rather, biblically speaking, it involves disciplining our minds to focus on the positive promises that God has for us that are mentioned in this text. Thinking on things that are true and honest and just, pure, lovely, and good report, virtuous and praiseworthy, will lighten and encourage our spirits and build positive faith in our heart and mind. It's a spiritual discipline that will position ourselves for God to use us as He desires as well. I want to be used by God, but I have to position myself. I have to position my heart and my mind daily. It's a daily discipline. It's a daily practice. If I want God to use me, to work in me and through me, I have to implement certain disciplines in my mind. I have to first yield myself to Him and allow Him to use me. And that's surrendering my will to His will. And that's a powerful thing. We are at the threshold for His will to be done in our lives daily, not just when we come and worship and do a three-song set on a Sunday morning. And that prepares the atmosphere. Don't get me wrong. We need that, and it's beneficial. But as we wake up on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, I need to position myself to have the right mindset before I walk out the door, before I encounter people throughout the workday. When I go to the store, whatever I do, wherever I go, I need to position myself. Lord, I need to line up my will with Your will. I need to have the mindset for You to be able to use and work through me. The working of God on our human spirit is most effective when we first surrender our mind to the Lord. It's something that we're able to do every morning, whether it's sitting at our kitchen table, whether sitting at our desk or putting on some earbuds and heading to work on a Monday morning. It's just getting that word engrafted into our heart and our mind so we can be effective throughout our day. And Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. It establishes us throughout the day. And it's a daily discipline. If I go through a week or two without doing this, I become spiritually weak. To be spiritually empowered, I got to do this and implement this every day. And if I miss a day, I need to repent before God and say, God, I am sorry for the opportunity that I didn't spend time and I didn't purpose in my day to sit and wake up a little early to spend time one-on-one with You or to turn on that audio Bible on my way to work in the morning. I need to do this every day. It's very vital, very important. There could be one scripture that you may hear or read before you go to work that will have an impact on somebody else's life, if not your own. So that is so important. It is definitely the preparation and planning for the opportunity for God to use us each and every day. Rejoice in all things. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul commanded them to rejoice no matter what their circumstances are. The church in Philippi, remember Paul's example of rejoicing and singing praise to God after being beaten for doing God's work. They knew Paul practiced what he preached. I could follow after anybody's example when they've gone through a hardship, when they've been spiritually attacked, or they've gone through hard times, and they could get up in the morning and give God praise. And they just don't do it on a Sunday morning, but they do it on their way to work on a Monday morning. I'm going to praise God. Maybe I've been under attack. Maybe I feel like the whole world is coming upon me, but I'm going to give God praise. You know what? That is anointed praise and anointed worship. That is something powerful. It was powerful enough to shake the foundations of a prison. It was powerful enough to cause people that were around Paul and Silas to be loosed and freed as well. Your praise and your worship when you're underneath suffering and underneath attack is powerful. It doesn't just affect you, but it affects everyone around you. In Jesus' name, I want to be an effective worshiper. I want to be an effective praiser. I want to be an effective man of God when I leave my house every morning. I just don't want it to be effective when I come here. And we need to affect each other in a positive way every time we come to the house of God on a Sunday or on a Wednesday night. But I need to be effective in a workplace that they don't come. They don't see what I see. They haven't encountered what I've encountered. They need to encounter a living God when we walk into our workplace every day in Jesus' name. The spiritual DNA of the church was infused with praise and rejoicing, even in profound, difficult circumstances. Our duty as Christians is to rejoice in the Lord always. By doing this, we are able to have the right perspective. It's having the right mindset. It's positioning my mind first. First thing every day, I need to position my mind first so he can effectively use me. It's all between the ears. I need God to be effective in my life, but I need to surrender and yield myself to him every day. Love is the first list of the fruits of the Spirit, but the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. It's a central theme of living a victorious Christian life. I don't want to just survive through this. I don't want to just get here from Sunday to Sunday or stumble in on a Wednesday night. I want to thrive as a Christian, as a man of God, every day that I wake up. We should be overcomers. We should have an overcoming mindset. If we have a defeated mindset, our mind is not in the right place. And we cannot be effective for the kingdom of God when we leave our house every morning. So a lot of this that I'm speaking to you this morning is what we do when we're not here on a Sunday. It's what we do when we're at home on a Monday. It's what we do when we go home on Monday night. It's what we do when we have that day off on a Saturday. What am I doing to prepare my heart and my mind for God to effectively use me and do a work through me every day? And I need to say this, the spiritual discipline is prayer, but also it is so effective. And as Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I want to say if you haven't exercised a spiritual discipline of fasting, this is so beneficial. It gives you a spiritual sensitivity that I cannot explain. But I can encourage every one of you, if you would infuse this into your prayer life, you're going to go into a store and God may prompt you to say something to somebody, or somebody just may be there that it's not a coincidence. It's a divine thing. It's a divine appointment. But infusing a spiritual discipline of fasting with prayer would heighten your sensitivity to maybe say something to somebody, or for somebody to see you, and it would change their whole day, and that smile on your face could just be an encouragement for them to get them through something that you have no idea what they may have gone through before you see them. It's an encouraging thing. It's less of me and more of him. I want to be effective, but the only way I'm able to be effective if more of him is in me, infused in me, engrafted in me. May there be something, a light that is attractive. There are two types of light. There's light that will blind, that will repel somebody. But I want to be that light that's attractive to somebody. To say, I want what you have. I want what's inside you. You have a mindset that isn't like anybody else at the workplace. There's so much pessimism that's there, that's evident. But if I want to be accused of something, I want to be accused of having a smile on my face when I go to work in the morning. And there's a project manager on a job I was working on recently. He goes, hey, what's up, Smiley? That, to me, that's a compliment. You know, everybody's so negative and everybody's on top of each other and people are coming in hungover. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. I will rejoice in the Lord because he gives me strength every day. He is the light within me. We are that city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. We are shining. We are that attractive light for others to be drawn to him. But it's having the right mindset. It's having the right heart, the right mind every day. When we rejoice in the Lord, it's impossible at the same time to be overwhelmed by our own struggles. Rejoicing in the Lord is not just an offering of a few words of praise, but rejoicing in the Lord is making a serious effort to find one's joy in the Lord. It's not something that is always a simple thing to do. That's why Paul believed this so strongly, because he and Silas both experienced what happened when they began to rejoice after being beaten and thrown into prison. That's why he said it twice in the same verse. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Have continuous joy. Let your cup run over with the joy of the Lord that we allow him to fill in us. How much of the cup do you want God to fill in your life daily? I don't want it to just be enough to just get me through the day, but I want it to be such an overflow to where it spills on people. This joy can be contagious. This joy can be affected to where it spills out on somebody else. I'm around people that are negative, and they can have an impact on others as well. But the joy of the Lord that is within me, if I allow God to let it be an overflow in my life, can be effective in a positive way. Lord, let there be an overflow. Let my heart and my mind be right and effective so you can use me, so this joy that's within me can overflow and be a positive impact in other people around me. Rejoicing in God is appropriate and essential to do the work of God. If you want to encounter a powerful move of God, just be around a saint of God who worships when he or she is suffering or has been under attack. It's a powerful thing. It was just as powerful. Paul and Silas were in prison. But if any saint of God or brother or sister of God who comes into the house of God who's been suffering, who's been under attack, will push that aside and will be able to praise through any circumstance or situation, it becomes anointed worship. It becomes so powerful that it affects everyone in the house of God. It doesn't just bless them, but it blesses everyone else. I want to be a blessing to everyone else. It's good that we suffer. It's good that we go through trials and tribulations, because God has built within us an overcoming spirit. It was a year or two or three ago that I went through a test or trial. And before that, I went through another test or trial. You know what? There may be a season or a test or trial that I may face that I may not see around the next corner or next season of my life. But I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to have the right heart and the right mindset to rejoice in any situation, because God has been with me. He is my comforter. He has never left me. He has never failed me. He has never forsaken me. In Jesus' name, aren't you thankful for that? Can we give him a hand clap of praise? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Paul encouraged the Philippian church to maintain a gentle spirit and to be considerate in all that you do. And everyone should know about our kindness for each other. Here in the house of God, there's a time when I went through a time of suffering or a test or trial in my life, but I would see brothers and sisters just love on each other. Do you know what? That is such good medicine. And they weren't actually, like, ministering and loving on me, but they were doing it to each other. And I tell you what, that had an effect on me. That changed my perspective on so many things. And they may have no clue what maybe I've been going through that day or that week, but when I saw a brother or sister just showing kindness to each other, that just overflows. That's the spilling out of love and compassion that affects more than just the person that is towards. It's effective to so many people. It'll affect everybody in the room that notices it. John 13:15 says, "By this all men shall know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another." It's not how I'm used in the gifts of the Spirit or how powerful that may be. But if I don't have a love for my brother and sister, that's for nothing. That's very ineffective. It's my love is a very powerful thing. My love for my brother and sister, how I feel loved and how I show love for everybody in here. It's very important. Paul intended that knowing Christ is near would be a comfort to every believer. And I'm so thankful for that he's never left me and forsaken me. There's uncertainty and even danger in following after God, but when God is near, we have nothing to fear. The world may be chaotic and confused, but in the presence of God, we can find comfort. His nearness is not only comforts us, but causes us to want to please him. When you've been comforted, when you need to feel that comfort of the Holy Spirit in your life, that's one of more of those things where after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the initial baptism is not what I expected, but that comfort that came is so much more than what I expected. Lord, you comforted me. Nobody else was there. I was alone. I was driving in my truck by myself, and you just came, and your holy presence was so powerful that I just got a big bear hug from you. If anybody's ever encountered that is, you can't describe it. He had to leave to go to bring the comforter. He brought the comforter to me. He brought the comforter to every one of us here. And I'm thankful for those times when I am comforted by his presence in Jesus' name. Secondly, pray about everything. Don't worry. This goes totally against our human nature. Be careful for nothing. In verse 6 it reads, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul uses three different Greek words in prayer in this verse: prayer, earnest request, and a petitionary aspect of prayer. The antidote for anxiousness is prayer. When someone becomes overcome with the cares of life, prayer is still the best way forward. Prayer is the answer, was the answer for the first church, and prayer is still the answer today for every one of us. The key to avoiding being anxious is this little phrase, with thanksgiving. It's so important that we infuse thanksgiving in every time that we pray, every time that we come before the Lord. And I had to learn to examine myself. God, if I'm just praying to you and asking you for something and I'm not thanking you for what you've done, is to thank God for everything that he's done. You know what? That is really an impossible prayer, because God has done so much for me that I'm aware of, but so much that I'm not even aware of. But everything that I can recall and just spend time to thank him for, Lord, there's things that you have done in my life that I am totally unaware of, but I just want to thank you for that. I want to have a thankful heart and a thankful spirit. You want peace in your life? Infuse thankfulness in your prayer life. It will be so effective. Your peace that you will have in your vehicle, that peace that you will have in your home, that peace that you will have on the workplace, it's going to spill out. It cannot be contained. God wants to bless you with something that you cannot contain. And the world needs something like peace in their life. And God wants to give you such an abundance of peace that it's so effective to everybody that you encounter that they are going to want what you have. But I need to infuse thankfulness in my prayer life. I mean, it's important, like I said, to implement fasting in your prayer life, a spiritual discipline, whether it's a part of a day or one day a week or a quarterly, whatever it is. But don't forget to infuse thanksgiving in your life. It's so effective. I want peace in my life. I'm going to infuse thanksgiving in my life, in my prayer life as well. The opposite of thanksgiving is ingratitude. Dr. Dale Robbins wrote, I used to think people complain because they had a lot of problems, but I've come to realize that the problems they have come from complaining. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration, spreads discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc in our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. And David wrote in Psalms chapter 77, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. When I pray to God and I don't infuse thanksgiving in my prayer life, it allows the door for me to just pray meaningless prayers, and it allows for ingratitude to come into my life. I don't want that. I don't want to invite that. There's things that I want to guard in my life, and a spirit of ingratitude is something that I want to repel in my life, in my mind and in my heart. It's a battle in the mind. Ingratitude has no place in my mind and in my heart. To always be thankful, to have that thankful mindset is what I always need to have, because I want peace in my life every day. No matter the circumstance, no matter the test and the trial in my life, or no matter what's surrounding me or who's surrounding me or who's there and who's not there, when I infuse thanksgiving in my prayer life, there is peace that goes with it, and I'm so thankful for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I can't control when someone else is anxious and out of control, but I can control how I can respond when a circumstance arises in my life. I can respond with prayer and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. God has given us the tools. He has given us his word. And when I'm lacking in something, God may pull himself back to say, you know what, I want you to hunger and thirst after me for a while. I want you to seek after me, because all the answers in your life that you may seem missing right now are when you come after me, when you hunger and thirst after me. It's not just a one-time thing when God filled me with the Spirit, but I need to maintain a spiritual hunger for God every day of my life. And there's that divine discontentment that we need to have within us. God, I want more of you. I want more of you in my church. I want more of you in my personal life. I want more of you in my family. I want more of you in my home. I want more of you when I come and when I go, in Jesus' name. I want such an overflow of you that is so evident that it spills out in an effective, positive way in other people's lives, in Jesus' name. Worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Worry prevents us from living for God because it distracts us from God's greatness. The greatness of God, when we allow worry to enter our mindset and when we begin to worry, it's an insult to God to even put worry on the same level as Him. When I worry, my perspective starts to change. Lord, forgive me. There is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing greater than you. Forgive me for the mindset of worrying. Worry prevents us from living to God because it distracts us from God's greatness. But when our requests are made known to God with thanksgiving, the door is open for us to have one of heaven's greatest treasures, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding and will guard our hearts and minds. The person who presents his petitions with him with thanksgiving. Paul wrote this, peace of God will stand garrison over their heart and mind. The Greek word for guard means to garrison, means to guard figuratively, to protect and to keep. The word picture that Paul used to describe God's peace is a guard in your life is of soldiers protecting a fort. Not only does he want to bring peace in your life, but he wants to protect that peace in your life. It isn't just something that's here and it just flourishes. It isn't just something like on the 4th of July fireworks. It's here for a while and it's gone. He wants to maintain a peace in your life with a spirit and a mindset of thanksgiving every day. And when we have that mindset of being thankful every day, it is guarded. It is well guarded. Peace when we come, peace when we go. Peace that is unexplainable. The peace that passes all understanding. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The majority of the instruction of these verses concerns what we do with our mind. We have to, it's a practice, okay? We're not going to get it right all the time. We're human. Our human tendencies kick in. We are going to have times where we're going to worry, where we're going to fall, we're going to slip, but we're going to get back up. We're going to look to Him. We're going to rely upon Him, lean upon Him, depend upon Him. He wants us to, and He puts us in positions at times for that to happen. And then He will allow Himself some space to see, are you going to rely upon me even when I put you in a position where you don't really have to? Are you going to rely upon your own understanding? Are you going to depend upon yourself? In every season in life, in every situation, if we have a mind of dependency, a mind of reliance upon Him, through no matter what situation, through the good times and the bad times, and it's all begins in the mind, begins with a heart mindset. Maybe this is something that you needed that is way overdue. Maybe you're like, man, there's a missing piece puzzle in my life, and I've been lacking peace. And I get glimpses of it, but it comes and it goes. But I want to maintain a peace in my life daily. Infuse thanksgiving in your prayer life. Have a heart of thanksgiving and a mind of thanksgiving. Let it be known unto Him. Share it with Him. Share your heart and your mind with Him in thanksgiving. It's going to be a game changer. It's going to be a life changer every day in your life if we implement this. Paul gave the church some things to think about. Whatever is true refers not only to truth, but also to things that have the moral qualities of uprightness and dependability. Whatever is noble, things that are noble are high, lofty, and exalted, and as opposed to things that are base and vulgar. Whatever is just or righteous, God is a just God, and God hates injustice. When we see people that are done wrong, it needs to bother us. We don't need to just turn our eyes to it and just pretend like we didn't see just happen. But we need to be stirred up and bothered inside. We need that sensitivity because we live in an unsensitive world, and we need to maintain that in our life daily. Whatever is pure, purity of a thought and a purpose is a precondition of purity in word and action. And the only way that I could best describe this, and I've heard this from somebody else, if I had two containers up here on the platform and one was full of acid and one is full of sugar, what is when both are kicked over, what is on the inside is going to spill out. What do I have inside me? Are they pure heart? Is it a pure heart? Is it pure mind? Is it pure motives and pure intentions? Or am I harboring impurities in my mind? Because there's going to come a time when we're going to get kicked and it's going to get activated. Something's going to spill out of us. And it's what's inside of us that's just going to be evident. We're not going to fool anybody. We're definitely not going to fool God. Whatever is lovely, we should think about things that are agreeable and pure. To have a similar mindset every time we come to the house of God. I want to be on a right mindset. I want to be in a like mindset because powerful things happen when we get together and we are of like-minded faith. Powerful things happen in the house of God. Powerful things happen in His presence when I agree, when I think like you think, when you think like I think, when we agree together, something powerful is able to happen in the presence of God. Whatever is admirable or of good report, if it's admirable and praiseworthy, then we will do well to push the shameful things out of our lives and cling to what is admirable, thinking on praiseworthy things. Paul lets us know that we have an obligation to have a mindset of Christ and to meditate on virtuous things. One of the key things that we can learn from this text that as a Christian mind is to be fully engaged in the process of letting God work in our lives. This is something that has to be exercised daily. It is not something that we come in here and say agree and amen on a Sunday and come Monday and we're like, man, what is going on in my world today? I need to text four or five brothers at church and say, I need prayer. I don't know what happened, but I just feel like I just run into a buzzsaw today. Well, I need to just spend some time with God alone and let the peace of God that passes all understanding just surround me, to stand guard around me. There could be total chaos in the life that you encounter every day, but God will guard the peace in your life. Other people are going to see it, and they're going to take notice of it, and it's going to be attractive to so many people. The thing Paul committed to the church were both caught and taught. As believers, it's important for us to evaluate what we are catching and the things that are allowed access in our minds and subsequently into our spirits. The Philippian believers that have been taught to rejoice in all circumstances and to direct their minds and thinking of what encouraged their faith in order to let God to work in us, we must do the same. They had to be taught to have the right mindset. They had a great example of Paul and Silas. They heard about what happened in the prison. And that's why Paul reiterated. He couldn't stress it enough. Praise Him through your trials. Praise Him through your tests. Have a heart of thanksgiving. It is a game changer. It is going to affect so many lives in a positive way. God will work in those who are yielded to Him, so to surrender to Him through rejoicing, through prayer, and through training his or her mind to do well on His word. When we do this, we're promised the peace of God that will guard our hearts and minds. I have a final thought, and there's a guy from work just about 2 weeks ago who said he had a hard time sleeping at his house the morning that he came in, and he says, I heard about this lady that used to live in this house before we moved in, and the way her behavior, and the only way that he could have found this out was because neighbors were talking about how her behavior was visible as she would go in her backyard, and we would call her a lunatic. And I thought about what Brother Stan Gleason spoke at men's conference in March and went down to Herrick, and he told me that when they recently moved from one house to another and they sold their house, and his wife met the new homeowners, and the new homeowners asked, he goes, what is different about you? If we could stand at this time. He said, every time I walk into this house that you moved out of, I feel something that I've never felt before in my life. I feel peace. That peace that Sister Gleason felt when she prayed in that house every day radiated. It was overflowed. It was there for the next people to walk into when they came into the house. How we pray is going to affect us not just in the moment, but in days and weeks and years to come. It's going to affect us when we're guarded, our peace is guarded when we go throughout our day. No matter what you're going through or whatever you've been through, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Yield your whole heart and your whole mind to Him. Love Him with your whole heart. Have obedient faith that He will open the windows of heaven and allow God to pour out a blessing in your life and other lives as well around you. And remember that every time when you pray, to pray with the spirit of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name.
Help us work in this God.